Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to season 3 of the Cosmic Chats with Debbie Sugarbaker podcast. On this show, I bring on individuals from all different sectors who are elevating consciousness around different aspects of life, living, and even death. Please enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Cosmic Chat. My name is Debbie Sugarbaker, and this is my channel where I bring on individuals who are elevating consciousness around all different aspects of life. And today I'm very excited and honored to have Juan Carlos here at JC Wired. People might know him by his handle. And he is a friend of mine from Houston, and he also is a scholar of some incredible work that has really shaped humanity, and I believe is also shaping the way that we are going. And that is the work of Carl Jung, Rudolf Steiner, and I'm sure you're going to talk about a lot more. He is a fount of information and of wisdom as well, because he also applies what he learns to his life. And I'm really excited that he's here with us today. He's also the founder of a new platform called Plenum, www.getplenum.com. So we'll also hear about that. So Juan Carlos, welcome. Is there anything else that I missed in your introduction?
I think that's too much of the introduction. So let's dive in. I appreciate the opportunity. The idea for us today is to talk about a little bit of some tools that I personally have incorporated in my life that I've been utilizing for the last 10 years. So in this particular case, we have Carl Gustav Jung, who actually is no longer with us. He was between the 1800s and the 1900s in Switzerland and Germany. He was a psychiatrist. He was a psychologist. He was a doctor. Also, he was a scientist, by the way, a scientist of the spirit. Many people call this era of avatars the artisans of the soul. So we're going to, obviously, this is going to be with all the respect that these human beings that already passed and left so much legacy for humans, especially for the modern time. I want to be respectful. We're not going to do justice in 1 hour of somebody, of some people that have taken their entire lives for this particular case. So today you mentioned that you wanted to share a little bit of the shadow, also the dreams, but we're going to see if we're going to get there or not.
I think we're going to stick with the shadow, but I wanted to share a quote that actually you and I had discussed before this, actually just sent it to you by chance. And I had no idea that the logo for your company is actually the sign of Aquarius. So I felt to open up the space and to open up the energy, I'm going to share a quote by her name is Maria Louise von Franz, and she was a scholar of Carl Jung, and she took his information. It's very interesting. She was a classics, and she studied Latin and ancient Greek and all of the mythology. And then her life's work was she dove into the work of Carl Jung, and she kind of interpreted it, especially around fairy tales and the archetypes of fairy tales and other alchemical processes. So that's Maria Louise von Franz, and I just wanted to open up with a quote from her because I think it's relevant. It's interesting that, you know, it also connects with your platform, your new platform, getplenum.com, but also for all of us as we are about to, Pluto is about to move from Capricorn to Aquarius. So here it goes. You see, in the image of Aquarius, it's a man who pours water into the fish. Now the fish is the unconscious. It is not enough just to have it. We have to actively turn towards it and support it so that it can then help us.
Wow. It's very powerful. We could just spend the entire hour just going to just the quote, but I will add into the actual transitory planets activity going on. And yes, now the last 10 years, most especially after 2020, we are going through apocalyptic times. Yes, we are. The Genesis, the Bible, the Zohar, and so many sacred documents talk about this specific time. And we are going, specifically today, going through the apocalyptic and revelation times. This is one of the reasons we have a digital space called Cosmic Chats, cosmic meaning order. And then that Pluto entrance, almost the final entrance into the archetype of Aquarius, is more complex to talk about, but now, the last 4 years, I see more and more human beings incorporating, starting to say, I believe in my sign, and I believe in a little bit of astrology. So this is something that is in the prophecies or in the myths and the fairy tales that it was spoken in the past. So that is in accordance to us having this conversation. It will be too complicated to go into all the details because it gets me really fired up. But we're going to go concentrate on the topic of today's, which is the shadow. And this is something that is very relevant to me of a time of chaos and crisis in my life, where I only saw what it was happening outside of myself, a very unconscious life for maybe a couple of decades. Now, the call to action is for everybody. So the question in place will be, what is the shadow? And I'm sorry, I have some notes here so I can follow my ideas right here. What is the shadow? And let's remember that Carl Jung did not invent any of this. And he himself, as like Madame Blavatsky, George Ivanovich Gurdjieff, Rudolf Steiner, the people from the 1800s, 1900s, many, many, many avatars of the humanity had in order for us to be prepared for this, what we call the modern era, the modern epoch. They left legacy that it was not exposed back then because we needed to go deeper into the downturn of something that is called the Kali Yuga, which is the dark era, that we already are out of that. That's where you were talking about Pluto entering into the Aquarius phase. Now, the shadow and Joseph Campbell, which is another great apprentice from Carl Gustav Jung, he mentioned that the shadow is equivalent to the myth of the hero's journey, and which is like a child that goes out there and ignores many things like a little kid. But then in the process, we're learning and then we begin to incorporate things in this, what we call the school or the university called life. Many people tell me, I went to this school, I went to that school, but all of us are in the same one called life and existence. So with this is the opportunity that the shadow, the name that Carl Gustav Jung actually utilizes for this categorization, doesn't come from him. It comes, if you look at the metaphysics of the Egyptians, if you look at Hinduism, they also call it the shadow, which is all these patterns that the human being will face most of the times from the unconscious. Two terms that what all he did was utilize ancestral wisdom and put it into more modern language, which is called the unconscious collective, the conscious collective. And he called this entire process individuation. Individuation is equivalent of what they used to call in esoteric schools back in the day from the 1300s, 1200s, 1500s, the path of initiation. He calls it individuation, which is a responsible opportunity for you to start facing the riddles of the existence, the riddles of the human being. So now, going back to the shadow is something that it's inherent. It's inside every human being, inside of the human psyche. Now, let's understand psyche first, because psyche is, now people talk about psyche, and then definitions, concepts, and ideas may take us to a certain extent. At least gives us the opportunity to get started, to become curious, but is very limited. So the psyche, I'm just going to bring it, is just like in Sanskrit, psyche, the word psyche comes from the word breathing, the breath of life, which is the soul. So why was Carl Gustav Jung not popular back then? Only for one reason, because he talked about something called transpersonal. What does it mean, transpersonal? That is above the human being, the unseen. We have called it God, spirits, external power forces, and so forth. So he decided to put it in terms where we is tangible for us and is available for our utilization to develop the human being. He talked about the archetypes. The archetypes understood as a primordial form of conduct, basically, of existence. And archetypes not only happen on people, it also happens on any forms of energy. Like we have the archetype of Jupiter and the archetype of Aquarius. We have the archetype of the wind. If you look at all the ancestral tribes, they utilize archetypes. And Jung called or quoted or utilized the term archetype, which is pretty fascinating. Now, so he divides the psyche and then he divides what he calls the archetypes. The archetypes, he structures into animas, animus, personality, and the shadow. We're not going to go into all that because that will require months and months of studying. But we're going to talk about something that, hey, what is that in the shadow? Because in the shadow, we'll mention that to friends. Oh, yeah. And they tell me all the shadows of their girlfriends, mothers, spouses, business partners. And I've done this myself all the time. I still do, right? Because if I want to see my shadows, you know what I did back in the day? I asked all my loved ones, hey, could you write down everything that pisses you off from me? And they're like, what? Yeah, everything that bothers you, everything. And could you write it down for me? It's a very deep work that I'm doing. This is about 5 years ago. Not everybody did it. My most close ones never did it because they remind me of my shadows on a daily basis. They will tell me in my face. So now, continuing with the shadow is that is unknown from the self. This one that I call I am is fully aware of many things on the exterior, but is very little aware of something that is going inner within. Now, here's the problem. If I tell you that the shadow is something good or something bad, it's going to be problematic because good and bad is subjective and is relative to each individual psyche, perception, concept, and percept of the reality. So I'm not going to quote bad or good, that the shadow is bad or good. We're going to utilize the word negative or positive. Negative, understanding as something that subtracts, and positive, something that adds up to or does a contribution. So continuing with this is how do most of us can recognize a shadow? So it's very, very simple. As the moment that we become uncomfortable about anything, about whatever, the little thing that the word that we utilize now triggers us. Yeah. The shadow carries, and I have to tell this to people, every shadow carries its own light and all light carries its own shadows. It's called the yin and the yang. It's always the unity. Even in religion, if you look at, you have the Christ and you have the Antichrist. You have the light and the shadow always coming together. So what happens if this is something that you took a lot of his scientific research and work? What happens if we do not recognize the shadow? First of all, we will have to understand what the shadow is. Right. Or constitute the shadow. So shadow could be a projection that I to other people. We utilize the projection, but here is not as easy because I'll give you an example. A projection could be that I see that I'm very, like something that triggers me. Oh my God, she's late again. Oh, she's always late for everything. That is, I hear that with the students and friends. But if I am the one seeing it, then I come and I heard this JC talking about recognizing the shadow. So I'm going to do the work. So I get pencil down and I write down, well, and I look at it and I happen to be very punctual. Like I'm always on time, like literally. And I ask people, hey, am I late? No, you're always on time. You're super early. You're always sharp on time. And I have the belief or my understanding was that the shadow is the not being punctual.
Because maybe, like, I'm just like, just to go off on that a little bit. So the shadow has a lot to do with our up. What I hear you saying is our shadow has a lot to do with the way that our upbringing, our conditioning, and our early experiences of life. So let's say if it is, you know, being late. So let's say we probably grew up in a family system where either everybody was always late, and we felt ashamed about that, maybe in society, or everybody was always on time. And if you were late, you were like banished. So at some point in the psyche, then we say, oh, that part of me, maybe there is a part of me that likes to be on time or whatever our natural inclination is. We may completely disassociate from that, throw it in the shadow because it wasn't what was accepted either within our society or within our family system. And the key being like the shame. It's something that was either we saw somebody else shamed for it, we were shamed for it. And we said like, oh, well, that's bad. You know, a lot of times, and there's a lot of people talking about narcissism these days. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like disagreeing that there's like, you know, obviously narcissistic personality disorder and there's a whole thing around that. But I also believe just from my own work that there is space for understanding that when I see somebody who makes my blood boil because I say they are narcissists and they don't think about anybody else, that's probably an indication, as we're talking about today, that, you know, I grew up in a family, everybody's doctors, nurses, you prioritize. What was celebrated was sharing and caring for other people and service and this, and this is why we're here. And so that idea of being for oneself may have been, maybe there was a certain time where I was the star of the show or something, and somehow I got a glance, I got a look, I felt an energy. I said, oh, well, that's shameful. I'm going to cut that off. That's not going to work in this system, because in this system, this family system or this society, it's celebrated to be sharing, caring, this. And so we put that part that's kind of for ourselves into the shadow, okay? But that needs to be reintegrated. And the way that it will be reintegrated is I'm going to be triggered by people who appear to me to be very selfish, to put themselves first, you know? And it may be a healthy balance for me to integrate that back in, because as soon as I can integrate that part that is for the self,
correct? Right?
Because we need to have a healthy desire for ourselves in order to exist in this world. I'm not going to be so triggered. I'm not going to even draw people like that into my reality anymore.
Exactly.
So a lot of times the people who are mirroring the opposite traits of what we have, and we think like, I have nothing to do with that. That like, I'm not like that. I'm like empath. I'm like the person and who with no boundaries. Yes, usually the person with no boundaries will attract the person who has no boundaries the other way, because there needs to be an integration and individuation as you're speaking.
That is correct. Yeah, and exactly what you just did is one of the examples to begin a process, to observe. Observation, which is coming up next, because it's very complex. That arriving to a conclusion is extremely the easiest path of things. Now, you did a part of the exercise with the possibility of what is it that is triggering. Number one, as soon as my blood is boiling, if I am the work, I'm going to get a pencil, I'm going to get my phone, and I'm going to take it down. Okay, I feel uncomfortable, and I'm going to write down. What is it? Is this person being unpunctual that really makes me upset? And then you did an exercise that is extremely valid, because that's the work that we're called, the call of duty. I could give you another perspective, and it could be that I look and I say, hey, I'm calling this person on being always late, and I'm always on time. And I do actually the evaluation. I check with people, and I'm always on time. So what is it beneath? Maybe there's a possibility that it bothers me, the fact, or if there's a possibility that I do not include other people into my decision-making process. And maybe I don't. But this person did not include me on her decision or his decision to arrive on time. And then therefore he or him is late, but he's triggering something in me that when I begin to do the search and research, and then people come to commonality to say, you know what? You don't involve people and you're very selfish. So maybe underneath that punctuality is the selfishness of not including other people in the decision-making process. But that gave you an opportunity for you to see it. So it has nothing to do with being or not being punctual. So the problem with working with this, and I will bring this to, I'm not a psychologist. I do not pretend to be one, but I am my psychologist. I'm not a doctor, but I am my own doctor, which means I am taking full responsibility. This is the reason we're having this conversation. Now, when I allocate something to somebody, it gives me an opportunity simply to go back within and start reviewing everything that is unknown and everything that bothers me. I'm a human being and have the correspondence to interaction, cause and effect, you know, the correspondence, what I call. But it's very difficult to come to realization and a true analysis. And Carl Gustav Jung has a methodology. I mean, Jung and Steiner and Blavatsky and the fourth way of George Ivanovich Gurdjieff and Yogananda Paramahansa. And there's many methodologies that we can utilize in order to come back. So number one is to understand that if something triggers me, I have a chance to observe, right? Now, there's something underneath that could be not specifically as it is, right? When I say, oh, somebody robbed me. Some of my family members took money from me, right? We hear this all the time. Somebody robbed me, especially from family members. And then he's like, what? And then the person is very triggered that somebody stole $20 from him or her. And then why is this person really triggered? Is it the $20 or is it the sense of the self-identity of righteousness that he has of himself? And then that has not been reviewed, that only a life circumstance or a person brought up to the light for that individual to have an opportunity to go into really, really within. Now, the one of the things, how do you know?
So wait, so just to ask you a question about that. So you said that, so he's kind of like in, it's kind of like that says way of being that we take on, like, I'm going to be like the good girl or the good boy. I'm always going to do the right thing. I'm never going to do, you know, I would never do that. I would never manipulate. I would never lie. I would, you know, the person who's like so good, but are they really good or have they just, is that what you're talking about? Like he's in a space where maybe he's denied the aspects of himself. It's not necessarily that wholeness that we're speaking of, you know, like that those parts, that those, it's just the denial of the quote unquote uncomfortable or negative things within him or herself.
Exactly.
Rather than, so that's what you're
saying. It's called the self-identity. Mm-hmm. That sense of belonging, of that being that I believe I am. And when I say I am, every time I hear the people say, oh, I am so-and-so, and I'm fascinated. I pay attention because like, oh my God, this person is allowing me to see the true reality when I hear that I am. Because we, on these realms of mineral and the vegetarian and the plant world and then the animal world, we are the only ones human beings can say, I am the I am. And that's when I follow. This is why Jung's entire career or path of life existence took on into the human realms of existence. Now, when you're mentioning that sense of responsibility or sense of identity is where we have the opportunity to come back and do the review and the work. Now, here is a question. What happens if I don't, hey, what happened? Who cares, man? You're into all this weird stuff. I don't want to pay attention to you. I got to work. I got to do my stuff. I got to go watch the game and so forth, right? That's what I hear most constantly. Does it have any impact in my life? What if I have an identity, self-image of the you know, that I am fearless because I am a military person or I happen to be a UFC fighter? So the image that I have of myself that I'm projected to others is that I have strength, courage, I have no fear. But guess what? Maybe I am tremendously fearful when it comes to talking to a woman. And then that image of identity of the macho man comes in contradiction with what I have or society has created for myself. And that will translate into maybe gastric problems, headaches, inability to concentrate, ADHD. So yes, the psychological being will have a direct correlation, correspondence to the physical being and vice versa. The problem is that we aren't aware of those things. And going back to the military person, see, this image of I am fearless is the truth. Because I am terrified to speak in front of a woman. Every time I get around a woman, I get nervousness. I get starting, you know, to sweat cold and that, those unseen facets. So the question would be, hey, is this the only Debbie Sugar Baker that I know? Because Carl Gustav Jung says, no, there are multiplicity of personalities. Only one self, which is the spirit. Because he talks about the spirit, a higher power, a higher energy. But this is why it was not popular back in the 1800s, because back in the 1800s, the materialism, the rationalists were dominating the world. They needed to really extend their tentacles. And people like Steiner, like Blavatsky, like the ones that I keep mentioning on and on, they were very unpopular at the time because they were talking about a higher power. They're what we call now metaphysics and quantum realms and sacred geometry and God. He was not afraid of speaking with God. Actually, he was working with Sigmund Freud, who is the father of the psychoanalysis and the libido. And guess what? He questioned him and said, hey, you know, I read your mind and you read my mind too. And we know there is something higher than ourselves here. Why don't you talk about it? And Mr. Freud did not want to lose his popularity at the time. Guess what? Now, Jung is popping up in schools of psychology, is popping up into not even schools of psychology, like the conversation that we are having right now. And he talks about, and maybe 15 years ago, oh, he or she is bipolar. Oh my God, he is crazy. We saw the mental illness as something from the external world and not something that could happen to us because we only thought that it was the crazy people that had imbalances to the psychological beings. Now we're told that no, the same way you have a cold, the same way you have a pain in your knee, there is also imbalances, and this is into the psyche and human psychology. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And then he talks about the multiplicity of the personalities. And with that being said, he's like, how many of you, I ask you a question, how many of you are there right now? I'm listening.
No, it's just interesting, like where you're going with that. It's fascinating because like the idea of the mind and just like a different view on things. So this is somebody who came after Carl Jung, but his name is actually Rupert Sheldrake. And he's a scientist right
Scientist,
now.
Yes.
He's talking about the morphic field. And he's talking about how even just like we're going to need to change like our whole view of medicine even, because he talks about like just to see like the physical body is just physical and mechanical and something that we need to work on, like, you know, fix the knee or whatever it is, without taking into account, like he's saying that like it's all actually a projection of like this mind morphic field. It's much more complicated. I would love to interview him and hear more about it, but that it's actually like everything is within our mind, right? So this takes healing and medicine and everything. Not that there's not a place for the, all of the beautiful technology and healing medicine that we have, but that we need to start seeing things differently.
Exactly. Thank you for putting that into perspective, because now we have advanced so much into the materialistic realm that we have to give credit to medicine. We have to give credit to allopathic medicine, to the research, because now we are certain of there is a physical 3D reality that we have disseminated and pretty much put it into parts. The one thing that we have not done is, hey, is this only one thing? That is there an order into the human mind that above higher level power called the power of thinking. Now, continuing, so we don't lose track into the shadow, because I'm pretty sure there's gonna be people like, oh my God, I know somebody who's not punctual. I know somebody who says I'm fearful. I know somebody who's stingy, you know? But if I'm like, hey, I'm not stingy, but hey, how much is the bill? And what is my portion of it? You know, like, hey, I am constantly throwing out my shadow. But I am not stingy. I'm generous. I'm a generous human being. But how much is the bill? And hey, I don't tip. By the way, I don't tip. So just for you to let you know, how do I know if I've been taken by the shadow? That's a good question to ask. So I wrote a couple of notes right here. So number one, the emotional aspect, something that makes my blood boil. That's a beautiful concept that actually Rudolf Steiner utilizes a lot. If I have exaggerated emotions about a situation of a person, that's another way to know if I'm being taken by my shadow. Load of excessive negative emotions. Thinking constantly, I have the inability to concentrate because I'm thinking of the situation, the person. And that develops into an obsession, excessive criticism to others, but not to myself. And not talking about, let's not talk about guilt, because a lot of people confuse of saying, oh yes, I am very selfish, and then I'm just going to be like taking the negative portion. No, the question is, actually there's a movie called The Dualist where there are two beings, enemies. They hate each other, but they don't even know why. That's something that I will bring. So as long as we have like a strong identity to criticism to others, when we observe the type of qualities, so we can stop and say, okay, every time I get upset, and I make a list, and I write down exactly what is it that it makes me upset, and write down it specifically in words to identify. So here is another aspect. How can I observe something? In order for me to observe, I have to contemplate. In order for me to contemplate, I cannot be associated with that I'm observing. So if I'm going to observe myself, how many times we walk, we're in the mall, we're going to a shopping center, or driving, which is even worse. And we arrive to the destination and we have no clue if we shifted, if we actually steer, we switch lanes. It's totally on the mechanical aspect of the human being. And one of the problems that we are on automatic mechanical attitudes and development of the day, almost all day long. I know not everybody, because I know many of your listeners right here are highly evolved. And if you have not started yet, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. That means you haven't started. Bottom line, many of the times we go on the unconscious in a vigilant state, thinking that I'm awake, I'm awake in the vigilant state, but I'm not conscious of what exactly if I walk every step that I took, every breath that I was inhaling and interacting with. And that is very difficult because actually George Ivanovich Gurdjieff, he's got a methodology where you begin to say, okay, I want to begin the work of the shadow. So number one, I have to have the ability to observation. I'm going to start observing myself to see, because one of the things is if I'm able to catch the shadow in the moment, I'll have an opportunity. Not that I've been told by others, but to observe it. Now, this is what happens. It's happened to me. I'm starting, I'm paying attention, how I serve my coffee, how I'm grinding, how I took a shower, and everything, paying a little attention. Then I'm walking out in the car, I jump, arriving to the shopping mall, and then I come back 8 hours later to say, oh my God, I was doing this work and I totally forgot. I got into the phone. So then I it's a process of awakening one more time. So observation is one of the practices that is intended, and it's a very difficult to attain. It's not impossible. It's very difficult to attain. Now, continue with the line of sequence. It's that if I begin to recognize there is a self-image of myself, and I hear this, oh, I'm very disciplined. No, I am direct. No, I'm to the point. I'm very thoughtful. Every time I hear the word I want to take notes and write it down specifically to see what is it that I am identifying with and in which type of scenarios. Because I guarantee you that if you talk to my sister, to my mother, to my significant other, they're going to tell you other things about myself that you don't know, because you know only this one Carlos that is the scholar, the one that talks. But what happens when nobody's around? What happens when nobody's around? That's the other question that I will bring to this. So number one, it's one way is ask other people, hey, you're stingy. Like, man, I'm a generous person. But then to the point, like, is everybody against me telling me that I'm a stingy person, that every time we have to pay the bill, I'm asking, questioning, I don't want to put the dollars, I don't want to tip? Or is this a reality that I do not want to accept? So the question is, accept observations. And then once we observe, we are able to identify there is a shadow. My goodness, what is acceptance? That is very complicated, because I hear now we have to integrate the shadow. What is your concept of that, Debbie? What is your concept of accepting and integrating? Because I was very, and still am somehow, confused.
Well, I mean, there's different methodologies to do that I've actually worked with. Some of them include, one of them that I can share with you is, okay, so there was a point in my life where I felt like I kept attracting people that were like, from my perspective, okay, like you said, if you ask somebody else, they probably saw the person completely differently. So I'm like, I'm experiencing this situation makes me feel, I'm feeling like uneasy. I feel like maybe they're like manipulative, or I actually had an experience where it was like at some point in my life, it's like, I felt like everybody was lying to me, you know, like even I was on the phone with something, like, oh, I got it up, you know, and I could tell that they were like lying, that they didn't. So that type of manipulation and lying, whatever, I'm like, I don't have that. Why am I attracting this from all of these people? Okay. But then I realized that part of myself, actually, I've actually been kind of like the opposite, which is a sign shadow. I've been like the good girl, you know, it's really good to be always honest and super honest to the point where like there's an anxiety there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I realized that part of me, actually, I had kind of like put it into my shadow and disassociated from it. And I walked around this world and actually felt very vulnerable to other people, and to like, I didn't feel like I had my good defenses. So doing this type of shadow work, what I did was I did a meditation. I actually heard it from somebody on YouTube, where you imagine the person who has the trait that's making your blood boil or making you feel, you know, like uneasy, or that you don't have that at all in your system. And you imagine them in front of you. And then you go into that energy. You see it as an energy, not as the person. See it as an energy. That's a shadow energy. I put my finger into that energy and I just took one drop of it and I brought it, that energy, into myself. Okay. So I took one drop of that and I put it into myself. And it's crazy because I actually felt better and I felt more integrated. And it's kind of admitting to yourself that, yes, I actually do have that part. We all have basically all aspects of the human spectrum within us, right? So it was me owning the part that I can actually, I have that, like, that part inside of me. It doesn't mean that I'm going to use it and become like manipulative and lying and using it like that. But actually, there's a healthy amount of, you get a sense of feeling more, I felt more like I could defend myself in the world because I had accepted that part of myself that I actually can be like wily and I can be sneaky, but in a good way, because you actually, you can use that for the positive, right?
Exactly.
And just by accepting it back into, you can also, I can also use it for the negative. I can probably also be lying, but we all, just accepting that it was a part of myself and taking one drop of it energetically into my field, I felt that it had helped me, and I didn't experience then, I didn't experience that in my reality anymore.
Beautiful example that you just mentioned, because a lot of the times we hear, hey, we have to observe, we have to accept it, and we have to integrate it. I was like, what the hell that means? I don't get it. So that means, okay, I've been told that I am a violent person, aggressive, so you deal with that. Hey, I recognize, hey, look, you mess with me, I'm violent. So there's this shadow of the archetype of violence is actually coming out when you're with a violent person towards a certain people. And then is this acceptance to say, I am violent, you deal with that? Or what does it really mean to say, I am accepting the shadow, the way you're exposing it as a form of energy, and you are able to observe and say, from this side, it defends me because that's violence. If I'm being attacked, it's going to make me survive, right? But and when I apply to my coworkers, with my employees, with my spouse, I'm doing and I'm cutting my relationships, which is one of the most important things we human beings have on this existence, is the power of relationships to correspond to all existence. I'm not only violent to people, I'm violent when I am polluting the water, when I am creating monocrops, dying, I'm being violent right there. So how do I incorporate? So number one that I like to tell people, because like, oh my God, you seem like a different person. And I understand that people, after me knowing somebody, now they're getting to know another personality, right? Multiplicity of personalities. There are some that are more beneficial that add, that bring more of compassion and love and solidarity. That's where I'm starting to incorporate a practice. How do I do that practice? Hey, be careful. If I'm aware that I have a shadow of a violent person, as long as I practice its opposite polarity consciously, actively, what will be the opposite of being violent, being nurturing, being at service? And in the moments that I've recognized that I'm being violent to other or to myself, bring a practice and bring the other energy into the practice. That will be a one way to integrate rather than to say, oh, I'm violent, you deal with that. Hey, look, I've been working on my shadows. So I know all about myself. I am who I am. But it's not allowing your own inner evolution. So with that being said, this is more complex. It requires more work. And I'm not doing justice because I don't pretend with this beautiful opportunity in this cosmic, the word cosmic, chats. Cosmic means order. And order, just like in the human being, in the body, in the physical body, there is a settled order that is right there. And order means that there's got to be some hierarchy. And let's talk about as it is. You cannot tell me that a teeth or one tooth is the same as your heart. It's not the same. The heart has hierarchy. I can live without no tooth. Maybe I won't be able to utilize my heart in the romantic way to go and kiss somebody, for instance, but because I don't have a tooth, but I can live without a tooth. Same thing happens. There are hierarchies in my unseen being, which is my psychological being, as Rudolf Steiner calls it, the etheric body, the astral body, the physical body, which is the seen body, and then the I, the ego, the spiritual, the soul, the unseen. And with that, we do not understand the structure of the psyche. We do not understand the structure of the mind. And same thing is happening to the physical body. But now the call of duty, the call of action after 2020, people are starting to become more responsible. And now here I'm doing a cleanse. I hear intermittent fasting. I hear all these new trends are coming as an apocalyptic reaction or correspondence. In the same way, we're bringing this topic of conversation of the shadow today, which brings us within the understanding that there are unseen or unknown personalities and facets of one being. And as the Greeks and as the Hindus, they talked about the enigma of existence. What is the purpose of me being on this earth? Who am I? Where I'm coming from? If we have talked, we're talking about repeated lives, where am I heading to? These riddles of the human being are coming back to where it belongs. It belongs to the spiritual realm. And this is why I am a bodybuilder physically, but I am a spirit builder as well. I'm incorporating because I'm simply obeying the cosmic laws of Pluto going into Aquarius and the moon doing this and the sun doing that. And as our ancestral beings had times for devotion, times for reunion, times for religion, times for community. We're back there here. There are so many, 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 many more things to cover, but I'd like to open up a couple of questions. I know you have something that I will ask you. It's in the, is this cosmic chats, the word cosmos, I use it all the time. And when I got invited to your podcast, I was like, wow, this is a correspondence opportunity. And in, within the shadows, I don't pretend to tell people and anybody to say, be ashamed or be hard on yourself because you have not done the work. And the Bible says, do not abandon the work. And people say, oh my God, I get up every single morning. I go to my office and I make the phone calls. And the Bible, as utilizing only one method of a sacred manual or scripture, which work are we talking about? And again, why will I do all of this hard work of understanding the shadow and put it into practice? Again, practice, the word practice is a unification of processes that will eventually lead us to a path of evolution, to a path of initiation, and to a path of harmony, peace, and love. I wanted to bring that because I know we talked about being on the 45 minute, which we are right now. And I'm open for questions and whatever you want to bring onto the table. There's way more to discover here, by the way.
Well, one thing that I just wanted to say that, wow, thank you so much, by the way. I feel like you're just like this fountain of wisdom and knowledge about all of these concepts. And I know you've done a lot of studying and there's a lot of effort and work that's gone into everything that you're able to then bring forward today. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you being you and being here with me. The one thing that I just wanted to say, like in terms of if anyone's like beginning shadow work, and I don't consider myself an expert in shadow work, right? I've actually become more interested and been listening to, you know, Jungian podcasts. There are those, so definitely check them out. And then I've done like shadow work, you know, from Debbie Ford and from different places and in areas. Okay, so I don't consider myself an expert. But one thing that I will say that's important when doing this work, which I know for sure, is the recognition, like you said, of the self, of the wholeness and completeness and connection with something much larger, with a higher power, with the creator of the soul. And if I have that connection, which like you mentioned, it is, if I like understand it and I identify with that self, mm-hmm. if I know that myself is like this light being connected to infinite source, it makes it much easier to be able to do this work. Because then when life triggers us as it does, and it can be very, very difficult. If I have, the more that I can cultivate that connection and I know that my identity is not any of these characteristics and traits, it's not who I am. It may mm-hmm. be something that I'm displaying or something that I'm experiencing in my life, but I know that, you know, there's a part of me that, and the near-death experiences can help us with that, with identifying with the soul. The more that I can identify with that, the stronger I am in my connection to it, the more that I'm going to be able to look at these dark sides without getting, you know, without having it overtake me. Because, and I also recommend if you can find like a coach, or if you find a program, or if you just find somebody who can support, because sometimes it can be tricky, because you're like, I heard in a podcast about, it was a Jungian podcast, and they were talking about like this, sometimes the shadow comes as like this letter that arrives on your doorstep and you're like, I have no idea where this is coming from. I don't relate to it at all. Like sometimes you'll be like, you'll see the person who's, that is not, you don't even see how, you know, the person who's being manipulative or anything could be, you're so identified with the opposite trait that you say like, that has nothing to do with me. But if you are able to have that strength and that connection to your soul and the identification with that higher self, it's going to be much easier to be able, when we are triggered, to first of all, to see the world as our mirror, and then to be able to do this type of work and to be able to stay in that place, as Krishnamurti says, right? To observe ourselves without...
Observe ourselves. Actually, continue with Krishnamurti, which it was right after, you know, Jung and right after Steiner and right after this powerful woman, Madame Petrona Blavatsky, with The Theosophist, and actually a great book that I will suggest people to read if they got a chance. It's called The Secret Doctrine. She's like the mother of all these amazing beings coming in, including Krishnamurti. And the shadow gives us the opportunity to discover the landscape of the psychology of the inner self. And as Jung called the shadow, the sacred wisdom that hides beneath each shadow. And he called the shadow the sacred neurosis. That's how he called the shadow. Understanding sacred, meaning something above a human being, hierarchy, tooth, heart, same correspondence, same relationship. And also with neurosis means something that is unattended. Physical and psychological is a crisis that is unattended and left out. And everybody knows that if you have a stomach problem unattended, then you'll have its consequences in the bathroom. So that this overcoming the shadow, integrating the shadow, brings the opportunity for inner peace and inner harmony, which is not a constant, but is a fluctuation, is a qualitative activity of energy, up and down. It's like a valse, movement up, you give and you receive. That is the actual qualitative characteristic of energy and existence.
Undulation.
That undulation.
I'm the image that I got when you were speaking was like, and I've actually can relate to this one, this type of shadow is like the person who's like, oh, everything's got to be perfect. My house has got to be perfect. We've got to be, everything's got to go on time. Everything's got to go accordingly. And we kind of take pride in this part of ourselves that's like a perfectionist and needs everybody to be, sometimes we even believe that everybody needs to behave in a certain way, right? But that may be that I have this inner slob that needs to be integrated in. And then once we do that integration, you know, in whatever way that you do it, you can do like the drop of energy one that I did or whatever, you kind of bring it into your, you just start accepting yourself more. And the more self-accepting we are, like, oh, you know what? I did that. I accept myself anyway. You know what? I did that. I love myself anyway. It's like approaching the self with this gentleness. And then as that comes together, we become less. I heard somebody describe it, Sonia Chokat. Her work is amazing. Last night I heard her talking about, like, she said, like, everybody's got, like, tight butts, you know? Like, walking around, like, those, as like, the neuroses, those things. It's usually an indication that I'm not at ease with myself. There's something that I need to accept and to bring and to integrate in whatever way.
So I'd like to bring something. This is part of the contribution that we're doing with our team, portion in Colombia, portion in Houston, Texas, and portion in Mexico, is we're bringing a new platform, a new opportunity. It's an educative or educational platform / cultural where we all can have an opportunity to learn everything. In my personal case, that I never got taught in schools, on my house, universities, anywhere that complements the riddle of the human existence, whether you are a doctor, a lawyer, you're a technician, you're an astronomer, you are an astronaut, whoever you are, this is wisdom to complement any profession, any activity that you are performing through an academy. And we cover four areas, which is the area of the well-being, the area of this human psychology, holistic humanism, which is the era of Aquarius. We're bringing the sacredness on finances, policy, and economics, and also sacred geometry. Somebody we co-work posted jcwire.com is right here in the comments. I invite you to visit. the website getplanum.com is being readapted because it was utilized only for product, but is are there together, getplanum.com, but you can go most especially to jcwired.com. There is right here on the notes. And I will encourage everybody to become curious. And this is for somebody who is looking to enhance their life in any aspect, whether professional, whether relationship, whether your physical and mental state.
And I can attest that I've actually seen, and it was beautiful when we were living in Houston, like you had a community, which was a co-working space, but it was more of like a community. And I really just saw how you were able to inspire people, especially in the realm of physical health. You know, I saw people like literally change their whole relationship to food, utilizing the different tools that you were using yourself and then inspiring others towards, you know, whether it was like the ice baths or, you know, just the approach to food. I know that you're big on coffee enemas. There's like, just for anybody who's looking to see how to change, like rewire themselves in terms of food and lifestyle and nutrition, I believe, I haven't seen the platform, but I'm intuiting that it's probably a really good place, a really good station to park.
Exactly. And learn. Did you just mention it? It's tools for everybody to incorporate into their own lives, not a doctrine, not a coaching, none of these things. It's something that will develop the abilities of the inner wisdom, inner knowledge, and so you can explore your best possibilities. That's all.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Juan Carlos, for joining me today. I was just seeing if we had any, everything is telling me to start shadow work. Thank you so much. This is amazing.
I see Sara. Hello, Sara. I don't know if you're still in Colombia. Thank you for the comments, and I will review them shortly because I'm looking on my other on my other phone right here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, guys. You can catch the rest of the Cosmic Chats if you're interested in listening on all major podcast platforms and on my IGTV, although there are a few episodes that were recorded not on Instagram, so you can go to Spotify and any Apple podcasts, any of the other podcast platforms to check it out. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Namaste. Thank you, Debbie. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cosmic Chats with Debbie Sugarbaker podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You never know how your sharing it could affect the life of somebody else, something that they hear from somebody who's on the chat. And it's beautiful and wonderful to be an intermediary in those interactions. So hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, afternoon, wherever you are. Thanks again. Lots of love. Enjoy your beautiful life. Thank you.